Well, let's look at Philippians 2, verse 14 this evening. Philippians 2, 14. It says, "Do all things without complaining and disputing, that you may become blameless and harmless children of God without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding fast the word of life, so that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain or labored in vain." Back to verse 14, it says, do all things, without complaining and disputing. And then it goes into saying why, and some of the results of this, we'll read that again, we're going to come back to it, but it says that you may become blameless and harmless, children of God without fault, in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding fast the word of life, so that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain or labored in vain. So it says, do all things without complaining and disputing. Those words, it's clear in the NIV. This is, if you look at the footnotes in the New King James, it says these exact words. It says, do everything without grumbling or arguing. Do everything. Everybody say everything.
Everything.
Everybody say all things.
All things.
It says, without grumbling or arguing. And then it says that you may become lights, shining, blameless and harmless, shining lights. But it says, do all things, do everything without grumbling and arguing. In the Living Bible, it says, in everything you do, stay away from complaining and arguing. Is that true or not? Well, it's the Bible. I guess it's true. I know it's true. That word, grumbling, just in the English, you know, these words are translated and they render them different ways, but they translate into an English word that then has added meaning that we can say, yeah, okay, that's the rendering of that word. And so then we can look in our English language to determine what that means to us. Grumbling, when you're talking about a grumbling, it's a mutter of discontent. You know what it means to mutter? Means you kind of like halfway say something. Well, I don't really think that. You're not fully saying it. It's kind of like half under your breath, sort of restrained, but not. Kind of want to get it out there, but not fully get it out there. Just want to make sure you say it, but what? Did I say anything? That's mutter. It says a mutter of discontent. It means what?
Well, I don't like that.
I don't like something. I'm not happy. That's grumbling. When you talk about like a grumbling person or something, the adjective is expressing discontent, especially by muttering. That's part of it. That's implied. This muttering thing is not a side thing. When you're grumbling, you're kind of sideways complaining, but not just like, hey, I don't like that. It's kind of like, oh. Say it aside, you know, just me. Yeah, not happy. Some synonyms and near synonyms and near synonyms, complaining, fussing, griping, kvetching, protesting, squawking, whining. Some antonyms. So those are all things that mean like, you know, whining, squawking, fussing, griping. But some things that are the opposite or nearly opposite, so you get the idea of what, 100%, 180 from this. Abiding, enduring, forbearing, patient, tolerant, accepting, forgiving, long-suffering, resigned, uncomplaining. You just see this calm type of thing versus I'm not happy. That's the opposite of grumbling. And so it says not to do, to not grumble, complain, dispute, do everything without it. In the NLT, it says do everything without complaining and arguing so that no one can criticize you. So it's not just, well, don't do it. But this is the Bible, right? We're reading the Word of God. This is not optional. It's not like, well, I had a good day, I didn't complain. And we're going to get into this. Complaining and grumbling is a lot more serious than most people realize. It's a gateway. It's not just, well, it's okay. I mean, it's okay just to grumble. It's not. It's actually way worse than I think a lot of people understand. And it says we're supposed to do everything without it and without arguing. Now, murmuring, complaining, griping, whining, squawking, we're supposed to do everything without it. So when would it be okay to do that? If you're going to do all things without it, do everything without it, so when is the time it's okay to gripe? It's okay to complain. It's okay to grumble. There isn't a good time. So what our goal, and it's not like long-term goal, our goal, like starting now, is zero complaining. You say, well, that's impossible. That's not impossible. God told us to do it. Whether it's you, whether it's me, we've all done it. Anybody want to stand up and say, I've never grumbled in my life? Somebody said, well, I have an altar call for liars right after. No, we've all done it, but that doesn't make it right. That isn't like, well, we all do it. Yeah, well, that doesn't help. If we're all doing something dumb, we should stop it. This is dumb. And so the goal, not long-term, short-term, immediate goal is cut it off. That we don't do it. We're not known as grumblers. We're not like, well, yeah, that's just them. No, no. That's a bad thing. If we're known as a whiner, complainer, grumbler, that's a really, really bad thing. That's not like, well, that's just their personality. No, it doesn't have anything to do with personality. It has everything to do with whether we're going to obey God and do what he said. And it's good for us. How many of you know if we do what the Word of God says, it's going to help us? It's never the wrong thing. It's always the right thing. There's never a right time to go against God's word. So continue reading the NLT. Do everything without complaining and arguing. Maybe touch on the arguing part, but I'm focusing on the complaining, grumbling part. So that no one can criticize you. That's interesting, isn't it? Don't grumble, which is kind of murmuring and discontented. It can be criticizing somebody. If it has to do with somebody, then you're criticizing them. So that nobody can criticize you. So that we're blameless and harmless, it says in the New King James. It says, live clean, innocent lives as children of God, shining like bright lights in a world full of crooked and perverse people. How much more now? That's the society we live in. And people don't think anything of complaining. They use all types of media to do it. In fact, that's what a lot of social media is people complaining about whatever somebody just posted or picking a fight. Not all of it. Sometimes there's just funny comments and people do stuff. But there's a whole lot of people, somebody just posts something, it's not even controversial. Somebody's got to bring something up and complain and try to make a fight out of it. I mean, I'm convinced that there are people that just sit at home a lot. I don't know, maybe they're not working anymore, but they just spend a lot of their time on the keyboard just going around commenting on stuff, and a lot of it's negative. Just commenting this, just picking a fight. And isn't it hilarious when you see two people going back and forth in the comments? It's like, you guys realize you're doing this publicly. You're making yourself look dumber by the post. What? 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 Oh, you're so great. Well, what? You said this. I did not say this. And it's like, guys, take it offline. Well, they don't know each other. They don't know how to contact each other except through this. So the world's full of it. We ought not be doing any of that. You know, and people will 100% do stuff online that they will never do in person with people. And you know what's really funny is people will do that in a car, stuff that they never do face-to-face, but somehow they think that glass, when you can see right through it, is somehow a protection or a diversion that nobody can see what you're doing. Like you're protected. That's really dumb, because people will get very irritated and people have died that way. You know, people road rage and stuff. No, that we're full. The world is full of this. And they don't think anything of it. Now, that doesn't mean people like it. I don't think people that aren't Christians like being around a complainer or whiner any more than non-Christian or than Christians do. Mm-hmm. It's just universally disliked. But that doesn't mean people don't do it. We're not looking at everybody else. We're looking at, does this apply anywhere near here? And do I need to change anything? And then we know I'm going to stay away from that, because the Bible said you just... Here it says, do everything without it. I like the way the Living Bible says, just stay away from it. I don't want to have anything to do with that. I don't want to have anything to do with it. So let's look at a few verses concerning this. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 1. Start off with a bang. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 1 says, Moreover, brethren, I do not want you to be unaware that our fathers were under the cloud, all passing through the sea, all were baptized into Moses in the cloud and the sea, all ate the same spiritual food, and all ate the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. But with most of them, God was not well pleased, for their bodies were scattered in the wilderness. We're talking about the children of Israel. They complained all the time. Go back and read it. Complained about everything. Grumbled about everything. Say, well, that was just the way. Look at the context that we're about to read that it puts complaining in. Verse 6 says, Now these things became our examples to the intent that we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted. And do not become idolaters as were some of them. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Nor let us commit sexual immorality as some of them did. And in one day 23,000 fell. Nor let us tempt Christ as some of them also tempted and were destroyed by serpents. Verse 10, nor complain. Look at all the stuff he just listed. Idolatry, sexual immorality, tempting God, lusting after evil things. And then he says, nor, verse 10, nor complain. You say, it's just a complaint. Look at the stuff he just put it after. As some of them also complain. So nor complain, as some of them also complain, and were destroyed by the destroyer. So they did something. You know, if you're going to continue... We live in the New Covenant, but there's examples in the New Covenant. Ever heard of Ananias and Sapphira? No? Well, we're not talking about tonight. They were two people. They lied to the Holy Spirit. They fell down dead. And that's in the New Covenant. There's just things. I mean, God, we live in the age of grace, but just because we live in the age of grace doesn't mean we just live sloppy. There's mercy. Thank God for His mercy and grace, but... God takes things seriously, and here's the thing. You're not just dealing with God. God's merciful and gracious, but when we don't do what He told us to do, we put ourselves on Satan's territory, and it gives him access to destroy. See, if we'll do what God tells us to do, we're safe. We're protected. You know, like it said, you keep yourself clean. Satan doesn't have anything on you, but you can just say, well, I don't care what the Bible says. I'm going to do it anyway because I feel like it. God is just. And if He told us what to do, and even as Christians, born-again Christians, New Covenant, we have Scripture for it. You step out of that and decide, I'm just going to do whatever. You give Satan access. Do you want Satan to have access into your life? That's not a hard question. That's not a trick question. We shouldn't want him to give him any access. That's like letting a convict into your house. Just leave the door open. Well, let him in. What's he going to do? Well, you don't know. How about just keep the door shut and get him off your property? So, no, we don't want to play with these things. So verse 10 again, nor complain as some of them also complained and were destroyed by the destroyer. Now, all these things happened to them as examples, and they were written for our admonition, our encouragement, our get our heads on straight upon whom ends of the ages have come. Excuse me. So don't, you know, when we speak about these things, because it's the Bible, we shouldn't take them. As born-again Christians, don't take it, well, I feel condemned. I don't like when the Word of God tells me something like this. I feel condemned about it. Don't feel condemned. Take it as truth that we can say, ah, I'm not going to have anything to do with that. By the grace of God, if he tells us to do something, he'll help us to do what he said. See, if we act like, oh, I just can't get rid of it, we're owning it. We're saying that's just part of me. No, say, I don't want to have anything to do with that. That's not my nature as a born-again Christian. And if I've seen myself doing this, I say, I am going to separate myself from that. I don't want to have anything to do with that. Lord, help me. Mm-hmm. Lord, help me. Because if you say, or I say, well, I just can't help myself. That's a lie. That's not true. That it might feel like that. But that's not true, because if God told us to do something, he's just and he'll help us to do it. So what do we do? Lord, I see that. Oh, help me. Because you know what? I want your best. I don't want to give the devil any access into my life. I don't want to give you a bad name. I don't want to blend into the world. I want to stand out, like you said, like shining lights. I want to be a good representative for you. And he said, this is one of the ways you do it. It's so easy to talk negative, whether it's at work, whether at school, whether it's at church, just to grumble, complain. It's so easy. And you know what? It's tempting. You don't want to look out of place. You don't want to make the person feel bad. So you made it what? So you're going to join in? That's dumb. Don't do that. If somebody's doing the wrong thing, you're not doing them any favors by helping them do it. Well, I don't want them to feel bad, so I'll just join in. Yeah, I'll say a few bad things too. Don't do that. That doesn't help. You're on the job. Well, they're talking bad about the boss. Well, I might as well. Yeah, I don't want to look like I'm a goody two-shoes, so I'll say a few things. How about just walk away? Well, I don't want them to feel bad. Well, hey, if it gets back to the boss, you may be feeling bad. You may be looking for another job. You don't want to, and even if you weren't saying anything, if they find out they've been talking and you're with them, guilty by association. Don't, it's just better to keep clean and do what the Bible said, and it'll help us. But notice verse 11, it says, now all these things happen to them as examples. They were written for our admonition. In other words, we don't have to do the same things they did. That's the best way to learn. You know, you can learn things by experience, and you do learn things by experience, but there's the school of hard knocks. You did something wrong, and you're like, I'm never doing that again. You know, how much better to hear about somebody else doing something wrong and what happened to them? You're like, I never want that to happen to me, and so I'm just not going to do it. You never had to do it in the first place. You didn't have the punishment for it. You didn't have the bad consequences. You avoided it based on what somebody else told you. That is the best way to learn. People will be like, well, somebody can't understand this area unless you've been in it. Well, that might be true, but you don't have to go through it to understand it's bad. You know, you don't have to go through all the mud to understand that if you don't go through the mud, you're clean to forget. I say, I don't have to go through the mud and get cleaned up. I could just stay clean in areas. And again, we're saying it's by the grace of God. We're not saying, you're not talking about works of the law. You're not talking about earning something with a place with God. Only Jesus' blood can give us right access, make us right and have access to God. But there's things. So we've been made righteous through the blood of Christ, and now God has admonished us through His Word to live like it. It doesn't earn you a place with God, but it will be very beneficial in this earth as a witness to the things of God. It will also be very beneficial because we'll avoid all these problems. And God said by His Spirit, He'll help us do it. And so we can do it. And this is one of those things. Look at Psalm 106:24. Let's talk about the Israelites again. Again, for our examples. It says, then they despised the pleasant land. They did not believe His word. God tried to get them to go into the promised land. He told them that He's given it to them. They would not listen. And so they did not believe His word. Verse 25, but they complained in their tents. They grumbled in their tents and did not heed the voice of the Lord. Let's just stop right here. When we are grumbling, we're not in faith. We're not believing God. We're not trusting God, because the Bible says in all kinds of places, we'll read one of it, talks about giving thanks to the Lord. It's told us never, don't in everything, do all things without grumbling and complaining. So the Word of God told us that. So if we are going to do it, we're not in faith. We're not doing what the Word said. We're not thanking Him. We're not believing Him. If we're complaining about something, we're acting like it can't be fixed. And here's a side thought. Grumbling never fixes anything. It never fixes anything. It just makes it worse. It makes the problem bigger. It makes us focus on the wrong thing. It doesn't fix anything. I'm talking about constructively dealing with an issue. Remember, this is talking about grumbling, complaining on the side. You're not being direct about it. You're not, let's change this. It's just, that's that. The Bible tells us specifically, don't do that. Verse 26, it says, therefore He raised His hand in an oath against them to overthrow them in the wilderness, to overthrow their descendants among the nations and to scatter them in the lands. In other words, they weren't going in. They decided they didn't want what God had for them, and they chose their path. God's will was obviously good. That's why He told them, come, follow Me. I'm going to bring you into this land. And they said, no, we can't do it. They put themselves against God. We can't do it, and we're going to complain about it. Well, if you're going to go against God, whoever it is, you're wrong. Numbers 14:27 says, how long shall I bear with this evil congregation who complain against Me? Notice, it's not, God does not take this lightly. This evil congregation who complain against Me, I have heard the complaints with the children of Israel, which the children of Israel make against Me. This is not like, I get it, got a rough day, it's fine, you'll get over it. It's more serious than that. So there are consequences when we decide we're just going to do what the Word of God tells us not to do. And this is one of those things that's easy to fall into, but which we can avoid. And so we can say, Lord, help me. I'm going to do what You said to do. Look at James 5, 9 through 11. It says, do not grumble against one another, brethren, lest you be condemned. Now, this is James. This is New Testament. Do not grumble against one another, brethren, lest you be condemned. He's not talking about going to hell. But you be founded. What's condemned mean? It means you're declared guilty. Behold, the judge is standing at the door. My brethren, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord as an example of suffering and patience. Indeed, we count them blessed who endure. You have heard of the perseverance of Job and seen the end intended by the Lord, that the Lord is very compassionate and merciful. He's saying, behold the prophets that endured. You know, we read the opposites of grumbling. It's enduring, abiding, forbearing, patient. So think about it. If you're going through something and it's not fun, one option is to complain about it. Another option is just to go into the mode of, I'm enduring. Not that God's bringing it against you. I mean, you gotta divide Scripture with Scripture. We're not talking about that. But that you're in the middle of something, and instead of complaining, grumbling, that's not going to do any good. Instead of complaining about somebody else, that's not going to do any good. Not enduring in the sense I'm not going to do anything about it, but enduring in the sense that, well, number one, I'm not going to complain about it. I'm not going to do anything negative about it. I'm not going to act like I can't get out. I'm not going to just give in to my flesh and rail against something. I am going to endure and do what? The Word of God says tells me to do. That I go in the mode of, here, well, one thing, I might be tempted to grumble and complain about something, but the Bible clearly says not to do that. So I make a change in my mentality that I'm not going to do that anymore. You know, you could wake up we got a number of things that we'll say almost every day, and we'll say them like this: never again will I. I'm never going to be discouraged or anxious, because God is not. There's another one that says, I won't be afraid of anything, for God has not given me a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. Notice it says, never again will I. So what if you messed up yesterday? Well, from this point forward, my conviction, my intention is I'm not doing that anymore. So what if you blow it in the middle of the day? Well, the next words out of your mouth can be like, never again. Your thought is, well, you just did it. Never again. Because that's got to be your mindset. What is the other option? Oh, well, just give in? Well, I did it. Might as well forget it the rest of my life. Might as well just let it rip, because there's no use. That's going to for sure lead to destruction. Better just to be like, well, no, I'm enduring. Oh, if you do stumble, you get up, never again. Never again. By your grace, I am setting myself and my will and my mouth, my words, I'm setting the rudder in the direction that I'm not doing that anymore. If that's over here, grumbling, complaining, murmuring, I am saying I don't want to have anything to do with that. I'm over here. And if I stumble, I'm still saying I'm over here. The direction is here in what God has said. That is my heart, and God will help me as I yield to Him. And so I'm just going to keep getting up and moving in that direction, because what's the other option? Just start doing something against the Word? You know that's wrong. That's not going to help. So there is a fight. Because the world is just pulling it, we got to watch what we put in, because, hey, you might be doing really well, and then you go on some social media platform, everybody's doing that. It's so easy to start doing it. We watch little clips, watch videos of people complaining and using all kinds of language and stuff. That is so easy to regurgitate then, and now it comes out. Now we want to be negative. You watch people getting in fights or beating people up or criticizing this and that and all these things. It just starts bouncing around, and we're giving access to do that very thing. The more we ingest that, the easier it is to get in this place where everything is wrong and I have to complain. Go ahead, because I'm so frustrated about everything. Why are you frustrated? Well, I've been watching everybody else be frustrated. So now I'm frustrated. I was perfectly fine. Then I watched that video, and that's a good point. Why is that happening? Then you look at all the comments. Yeah. Now you're mad and upset when you're having a really good day. Why are you upset? Because you ingested somebody else's. Yes. They're upset. They're antagonizing. They're grumbling. They're complaining. And now that's bouncing around us. We just gave access for that stuff to get in us. So if we're gonna succeed, we've got to be wise. We've got to be intentional. We got to intentionally cut some stuff off to avoid some things. And if we miss it, if we make a mistake, we just get back up and go on. But it'd be silly to make a mistake and then just go right in the direction that's going to help us make that mistake again. You know, if you don't want to eat a certain food, if you really say, oh, I messed up. I ate it. I was trying to do without this food and for a while, and then I go right back to the grocery aisle and start right in that area again. I am setting myself up to make the same mistake. In whatever area that is, that would be dumb. So if something is causing, Jesus said, you know, if your hand's offending you, cut it off. Now, he's not talking about maiming yourself, but he's saying, be wise enough to get rid of the things that are causing you to stumble. And this is an area, if we're constantly, you, me, whoever, if we find ourselves grumbling, being negative, murmuring, things are always, that's coming out of our mouth, instead of just trying to squeeze the place where it's coming out of our mouth, maybe back up to why is that happening? Why do I want to complain? Why do I want to grumble? What have I been putting in through my eyes, through my ears? Who am I being around that causes this agitation to where I want to do that? Because it doesn't just happen out of the blue. I mean, it can happen, but if, you know, if you're sitting somewhere where you would consider very relaxing, whether it's on a beach, whether it's in the mountains, whether it's in a field, and you're on vacation, and you've been on vacation for days, and you're totally chilled out, and you're eating all the types of food that you like, and there's no stress, and you're not dealing with any work, you're not dealing with any people, usually it's not just you're biting everybody's head off. But when people are squeezed, when you're constantly around stuff, that has an effect. So if we're at the place where we're that stuff's coming out, instead of just trying to stop it, maybe we ought to back up and go, what am I putting? It's amazing. You cut off the source of things and what you're ingesting, how much easier it gets to where there's no drama. You cut off the source of the drama that you didn't realize you were ingesting this stuff, or I was ingesting this stuff, and I'm around these things. I'm listening to people that are like that. So those people, then I think the sky's falling all the time. Because everybody I talk to thinks the sky's falling. And I cut that off and go out in the trees and the birds, and it's like, it didn't look that bad. It's a nice day. You talk to somebody, they're not so bad. That's a nice person. You got to watch about what people say about other people too. If you met, you know, you listen to what people say about somebody, it's amazing. I've heard people... They met somebody in person, and they say, well, they weren't really all that bad. I thought from everything everybody said about them, they were going to be terrible. They really weren't that bad in person. You know, most people aren't that bad. You may be thinking, no, I know some people are bad. I'm not saying all people. But there's a lot of people, if you just talk to them face-to-face, it's not that bad. But, man, you listen to certain people, it's like, man, they're the devil incarnate. So watch what we're listening to. So you get to talk to the person, and you're like, you already can't stand them, and you've never met them. Well, I don't know about that. But be careful about saying things when you don't have firsthand knowledge. Hearsay is not good. Look at Jude 1:14. Yeah, I'm going to go to, just skip that one. I'm going to go to 2 Timothy 2, verse 23. 2 Timothy 2, 23, it says, but avoid foolish and ignorant disputes, knowing that they generate strife. Notice it, generate strife. You know, like you can have a generator that generates electricity. You know, there's things that just generate strife, that they generate complaining, that they generate grumbling. It says part of that, stupid arguments. Avoid foolish and ignorant disputes. Why? Knowing that they generate strife. Note it, you get into a stupid argument. Notice that's just like cranking the generator up, just like you would electricity. And here we go, here's strife. It's coming. Why? Because you're in a dumb argument. Foolish and ignorant. They generate strife, and a servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but be gentle to all, able to teach, patient. A servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but be gentle to all. To all? Well, that person doesn't deserve it. What does the Bible say? It says, gentle to all, able to teach, patient. Titus 3, verse 1. It says, remind them to be subject to rulers and authorities, to obey, be ready for every good work, to speak evil of no one. Wow. Is that in the Bible? Surely there's some people that we should just, they deserve it. And God knows. So like, God, I know you didn't mean this person. Here we go. To speak evil of no one, to be peaceable, gentle, showing humility to all men. Talk about the type of things that we're saying. We're talking about grumbling, complaining, speaking evil of no one. Let's go to 1 Peter 4, verse 8. Just felt quickened to go over this. Make this so that it's on a radar. So when that pops up, we're like, nah, not gonna mess with that. The word talks about that too much for me to mess with that. 1 Peter 4, verse 8. It says, and above all things, have fervent love for one another, for love will cover a multitude of sins. Be hospitable to one another, without grumbling. Love will cover a multitude of sins. Be hospitable to one another without grumbling. Is it possible? That was weak. I got like two people. Is that possible? Yes. Can we be hospitable and without grumbling? Is it possible just to go through a whole day and not have murmured or grumbled at all? Yes. Is it possible? Mm-hmm. Help me out. Is it? It is. How about 2 days? How about a week? Now you're like, come on. What are we even talking about? How about a month? Nobody even tried that one. They're just like, Jesus himself. Could is it possible to go to a whole year and never? It's like your grumbling record, 365, zero. 365, no grumbling, zero grumbling. Is that possible? Probably? You're going to go with probably? The final answer? That ought to be our goal, that it's like, I'm done grumbling. I'm done murmuring. My days of grumbling are done. 1 year, 2 years, 5 years, say, nah, can't do it. So when is the time then we're just setting it up where it's been 3 months. I'm due. Shelly, I don't know. Any day now. What is that? You're looking for it. You're just like, nah, it's been too long. I've had a good run, but let's be honest. This is not going to last, you know? Let's not do that. I mean, that's what we're doing. We're acting like, nah, nobody can do that. And then if you do mess up, well, my day's messed up. That's an X on the chart. We might as well just, we're going to use this. It's like you have a cheat day on a diet. It's like, well, let's cheat if we're going to cheat. Let's go all for it. Doesn't help. The point is that we could do something different. And we can decide. We can decide right now, you, me, whoever, it's like, you know what? That is worse than I have ever thought. That's not something to play with. And God, by your help, I have the attitude, I'm not doing that again. And if I stumble, fall, it's not like, hey, you stumble, fall into the mud. It's not like, well, I'm in the mud, I might as well wire. No, I get up, wash off, go out. I'm not doing that again. That is my attitude. I'm believing God. I'm using my faith in this area. Lord, help me. Help me. And you may have to bite your tongue. There's times like, no, I'm not going to, I'm walking out. But God's gracious. The Bible says if you're tempted, you won't be tempted beyond what you can bear. It's not God tempting you, but he said he'll make a way of escape. So if we're being tempted, we can say, Lord, help me, and he will. But see, we're engaged in faith. The minute we drop off and say, I can't, we're out of faith and we're just on the wrong side. But if we stay at that place where, nope, never again, see, we're still engaged. Then the pressure comes, nope, nope, I'm enduring, nope, not doing that because I'm going to do what God said. I'm going to walk according to his word, and he said I could do it, so I could. Then you get past it, and that's a victory. We didn't grumble in that situation. I can keep going. And there might be something else. No, it's not just so that we can say, ooh, goody, goody, I didn't grumble. Yay, I am very cool. It's so that we don't get stuck. We're not giving the devil any access. We got past it. We say, no, I'm not giving you access. And if I didn't give you access there, I'm not going to give you access next week, next month. You're not getting in my life. You're not getting into my family. No, God's greater. And he'll help me. So we do something opposite, and we're just going to read this scripture. 1 Thessalonians 5:16, it says, rejoice. So instead of the grumbling, we could preach a whole sermon on this, and we did a few weeks ago, talking about rejoicing always. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. So instead of in everything, don't grumble. So what do you do instead? In everything, give thanks. So we're going to be thankful. We're going to be grateful. We're going to be rejoicing. And so we're any time that we're tempted to grumble, we're going to replace it with something positive. Not because everything may be going right, but because God's on the throne. And that'll keep us locked in faith, going, nope, I'm not doing this. I'm not going down the grumble path. I'm going down the thankfulness and praise and rejoicing path. And pretty soon that will become the norm. And we're over here, we're not going over there. I don't care what happens, not doing that. And we're walking with God, we cut off that access of Satan into our life. Amen?